Yes, everybody, welcome back to the XG File. Stephen Howson, Ronaldo Brown. It's been a busy 7 days, hasn't it, in the world of United?
Fucking tell
football.
Me about... yeah, we were totally wrong last week, but...
So, last week's title was all about, what, Ronaldo going to City, essentially, because that was the sort of talk at the time, and even then...
Does that not feel like 2 months ago, almost?
Yeah.
Feels like...
Friday was the longest fast day ever in my life. There's a lot happened and it went in 5 minutes. It was insane. So obviously Thursday, I don't really tell you a lot what happened really, but Thursday, it's all going off. Ronaldo's going to City and it's actually happening. Friday morning, maybe he's not. Friday afternoon, confirmed. Like, not even months of speculation. Like the Jadon Sancho one broke me. Because it was like 2 years of speculation.
Yeah.
And then Ronaldo one was done in an afternoon. Like, I knew people who were texting me going, I had my phone off today. Turned it on to United have... Not only like United might be signing Ronaldo, United actually announced it. For how long it took them to do Ferran versus how long it took them to do this one? Wild.
Have you not seen a comparison with like... Not seen it, but I've kind of thought about it. The likes of Ronaldo saying, oh, I want to leave, and how quickly he was able to be able to leave at a club like with the stature of Juventus, and then basically saying, I don't want to play this weekend. And they're like, yeah, cool, that's all right, do whatever you want. And then you flip, on the flip side, you get Kane, who's basically held hostage, doesn't have the same power, doesn't have the same pull.
It's also Tottenham.
It's Tottenham as well. I know, don't have the same cachet. It's like...
They don't have the same cachet, but like they do seemingly get a lot of what they want.
Daniel Levy does.
Yeah.
But...
Guy's a Bond villain. Bond villain. Straight Bond villain.
The fact that Ronaldo... It almost seems like it's still surreal. Like, it's not sinking fully. No. People would have seen my reaction to it because I was on Pilot when I was doing it. But... It's going to... What a Premier League season we're about to have with all the signings. It probably... We've joked about this transfer window has almost seemed like... A different multiverse almost.
Yeah.
Like it's, Marvel, like.
It's like I'm in some kid fucking about on Footy Manager's life.
And even then, I feel like you're understating it.
Like, relax, guy.
Yeah.
Stop, why are you doing that? At least, I say at least, Mbappe going to Juve would have just probably tipped this thing over the edge.
You mean to Real Madrid?
So, yeah, to Real Madrid.
Yeah, with their broke money.
But didn't Barcelona try and sign Dani Olmo on deadline day for 75 mil? You're like, I would love to be as skint as Barcelona are because they're like, oh, listen, we're skint, how much is he? Like,
it's the same with Real Madrid. Apparently, Real Madrid fans have been kind of harping back on Twitter saying that they've actually been financially very, very good for the past 4 or 5 years in terms of they've not really... Apparently, they've not really... Apart from Hazard, they haven't really bought...
this is what they are. 100 million.
How much was Vinicius Junior?
Do you know what I mean?
But they're saying that they haven't bought loads and they've sold quite a bit. I don't really see where that's happened. So
Ramos went on a free.
They've gone from...
Varane went for nothing, essentially.
But they've gone from seemingly being in financial problems. Is that what we've known,
this is because Perez was coming out and saying, oh, like, we're probably selling the stadium next week because we're so skinned.
So how did he bid 220 million euros then for Mbappe on deadline day?
That's a line of credit I don't have access to. Yo, listen, you lend us 20 quid. It's different to, hey, listen, I'm going to spend 200 million. Are you all right with that? I thought, you owe us 600 million. So, let's call it 8.
But,
what the hell, man?
But the thing is, now PSG are going to be letting Mbappe leave on a free.
That is a different kind of wealth. Every club in the world needs 180 million.
I think that's what people don't realise. People have said PSG could get the money, rebuild. I don't think PSG is one of them teams that really needs... They almost looked at that £189 million or whatever it was and thought, we don't really, really need it. It would help.
Look at United, £80 million for Ronaldo. We went, that is best player in the world. Far too good an offer to turn down. Thank you very much. See you in a bit. And most clubs in the world do the same thing. They go, how much is that? Jesus. Yeah. Thank you very much. We will buy 6 players with that. And PSG went, ram it up your ass. Literally. Like, the owner was getting on Twitter, gobbing off.
So you think they just don't need it?
They absolutely don't need it.
So
they're making little figurines of Messi and that'll make them 200 million.
So they, all right. So what they're doing? So what they're doing is they're basically looking at it is we want to keep. They obviously want to keep a team with Mbappe, Neymar, and all that together for a season at least, and see if they can win that Champions League.
This is the Magnificos era, or whatever the French equivalent of Galacticos is. Like, this is them trying to put together that team. I'm shocked they didn't try for Ronaldo.
They should have at least spoke. They probably did. I don't know for sure. I'm not there, but they probably did speak to Mbappe at some point. Thing, we don't really want to sell you.
Look at the team, you dickhead.
No, basically saying, can you not just give us one more season? We let you go next year on a free.
Yeah.
To wherever you want to go.
And listen, you're going to Real Madrid where they are not going to win the Champions League this year. But guess what? We have a legitimate opportunity to win the Champions League. That team's unreal. That team is literally some kid's wet dream on Footy Manager.
But you know what? Well, I think PSG have built that kind of reputation of just being a team that
entertains and don't deliver.
Don't deliver. Like, the bigger, they're almost destined to flop at all times. And they've got the perfect manager for that. It's like, I think it looks good I think it's a recipe for disaster. And also with the adjustment of Messi playing, I watched Messi a little bit for 20 minutes when he came against
Rams. Don't look fit.
Don't look fit, but he's. It looks like it's going to be different for him because he's not playing in a team that's catered, which I thought could help him in a way, probably eventually. You're not asked to do everything. But when he finds himself, because it's not going to be a problem, he's well too good of a player. But
the guy's an unbelievable footballer. And I hate that you can't have you can't mention Ronaldo without Messi, you can't mention Messi without Ronaldo. Just the fact is, Leo Messi is, if he's not the greatest player that's ever stepped onto a pitch, he's the second. And it's not even close. It's them two. Argue about it amongst yourselves, but it's them two, right?
Yeah.
And third, it is as far away from me to them as he is to them. Like, so it's them two, and I don't give a fuck who you think it is. Yeah, I can see it being Messi some days. Yeah, I can see it being Ronaldo some days, but it's them two. And it's a shame that they both came around at the same era, or maybe the fact that they did come around in the same era is why that they sort of drove each other to these bananas levels. The fact is, Messi will be a success at Paris in some way or another. Whether that means he delivers them a Champions League, whether that means they win every single game, probably not. But he will still be a success
from a legacy standpoint. I know it's a weird one because you get conflicting arguments in it. You get some people look at the whole one club man thing. I know they do it in a lot of other sports, and when someone's a one club man and they win a lot with that one club and they stay there, it's looked at rather well. It's looked, but
a lot of him leaving Barcelona was his fault as well.
Yeah.
Because he didn't sign that. Obviously, he was on the money he was on, and if Barcelona offer him that money, he's signing that deal, especially when it was rumoured to be like Messi's wages are like the biggest, like could be anywhere from like 100 grand a week to 2.6 million a week. And I'm inclined to believe it's more along the 2.6 million a week than it is the lower one. Now, he obviously is going to be signing any of them contracts that they put in front of him, because if anyone deserves it, it's, you know, it's him and Ronaldo. They deserve that sort of money. The problem is that because there's this salary cap thing that Barcelona are restricted by this season, and because his contract actually expired, he technically got released from Barcelona and was a free agent for a couple of weeks. So when they was like, right, okay, he sorted his contract out, La Liga went, cool, you can't register him because he's now a new player. So that's why he had to leave, because they need to get underneath their salary cap. And he wouldn't have. So if he'd have signed his contract 6 months ago, he'd still be at Barcelona right now.
But what are La Liga thinking? Because I know they've got rules that got abide by, no one's above the rules, but they've literally seen Ronaldo and Messi leave their league now. And
Varane and Ramos.
And Varane and Ramos. I think
and what, Saul Niguez, which probably hurts the most.
What does it mean? What does it actually... if you're La Liga, what... You definitely didn't want to see Messi go.
No, and they probably didn't want to see Atletico win the league either. Because if you're a proponent of Spanish football, if you close your eyes and I said to you, Spanish football, you're thinking Xavi and Iniesta doing 700 passes each, knocking it around, tiki-taka, little fuckers with no real position, just putting you in a mixer and sending you west, right? You're not thinking of Diego Simeone's Atletico boring the fuck out of you and low blocking the shit out of everyone and playing almost English football in Spain. You're not.
No, you're
not. But that's who's the champions.
Exactly, but because the league took a hit when Messi was still in it. When Ronaldo left, the league still took a hit commercially. But now, I'm thinking, obviously, it probably would have hurt them to have said that to Barca, saying that he can't register him.
The rights to PSG's first game for Messi's debut, so he could broadcast him in Spain. That is a baller move, by the way.
What a baller. That's quality. That's class, PK.
Anyway, enough of a Messi wank fest. Yeah, I'm sure he's going to have that for the rest of the season as he fucking moonwalks through the easiest
three
league.
Three balls to him.
Have you also noticed as well? Did you see that?
Do you know what's weird? It's meant to be an easy league. I was watching Reims. I think there wasn't much quality on the opposite team, but they're aggressive, though.
So, you've seen that La Liga, even with Messi going there, has slipped to the sixth ranked league in Europe, according to UEFA. Portugal's just gone, boop, and overtook it.
Portugal.
So, now the top leagues in Europe, according to UEFA, I can't remember who's second, but I think it's Premier League, and then it's probably Bundesliga. I think La Liga, Serie A, Liga NOS, Portugal, then the French league.
Yeah. I was confused. I thought I was confused when you said league at first. I think you meant the French league is six. You said that the Spanish league was six.
The French league. Yeah, rewind that. The French league is now sixth.
Which makes sense because when I do normally watch like odd League One game, I don't see a lot of qualities on the teams.
Are they looking like they're ballers because they're not playing against mega opposition? And again, is it the pace of the game? We've said this a few times, isn't it? The Premier League's almost like the Championship.
Do you know what I will say about the French League when I do watch it? I think it can be quality void, but in terms of pace, I think, if anything, I think it's a little bit quicker than La Liga is or the Serie A is, but it's just not got the same tactical, because when I was watching PSG versus Reims, if that's what they're called, apparently Reims is predicted to finish around mid-table as a team. It just looked like a bunch of 20, 21-year-old athletic players just running around kicking PSG players. Like, it weren't like they were threatening them that much, but it didn't look like they were terrible either. Mm. But it's a stark difference between them and the rest of the leagues, though. I'd get the Farmer League premise, but the France, they have PSG, they have Marseille, they have Lyon, they have.
Yeah, but a lot of these are that in name only, really. A lot of them. It's like, yo, people go, oh, look at the Premier League, you've got, United and City and Arsenal. This might be Arsenal in name, but it ain't Arsenal on the pitch.
Well, you know what confuses me? A lot of the Farmer League arguments are formulated from the premise that there's a too big a disparity between the top sides and the bottom sides.
Yeah, well, look who's champions.
But in the Premier League, the same thing's happening.
It is.
The disparity is growing between the top sides and the lower sides.
The difference is, in a way, is that you're getting you're getting the likes of Arsenal, who spend more than anybody else in the window, and they are propping this league up. So even though that there is a massive disparity, there's still like some serious talent. I mean, although I think Arsenal, I mean, they spent more than us. Mm. Have they even improved their first team? Ben White, probably, yeah.
What Arsenal have done is, because they ran so terribly, they had the issue of trying to sign ready-made, proven Premier League players that are past it from other big sides, thinking there wasn't a gamble involved because they've been here, they've done that, you know what you're getting. And they got criticised for that. So what they've now done is they've tried to buy like a bunch of young.
But they've spent. Dude.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Like Ramsdale,
no,
but that's money what, on that's him. That's what they've madness.
Done. But Lokonga, the centre half they just signed from Leipzig.
Oh yeah.
The Asian one. But like, they've literally, what they've done is they attempted Leicester route almost of just signing a bunch of younger gambles that they hope look like bargain buys.
Leicester signed them for a million. Not 13 and 24. Do you know what I mean? That's the difference. They have spent real money in this transfer window, and they are looking like they're building a championship.
I don't think they've intentionally done that, though. As what I've said, I think they've just tried to flip it where we need to stop trying to buy and giving big contracts to the likes of David Luiz after he's left Chelsea and Willian after he's left Chelsea. And
oh mate, Willian buying himself out of his contract. Willian has basically gone 20 million. I fucking keep it.
Yeah.
One, imagine having the money to be able to say that. But two, how much don't you like Arsenal to just go?
Because realistically, they're luxurious players. What is it? Aubameyang, Lacazette. They're meant to be their senior stars.
Yeah.
You can tell by the way they're performing. It's not
Bellerin and Xhaka. These are your leaders.
I'm not going to lie to you. I don't even think, people who might slate me, I don't think the likes of Xhaka, Aubameyang and Lacazette are terrible players at all. I think what happens is they do a job in better sides, but I feel like Arsenal have a way, especially the way they've been in the past 6 years, of lowering players' standards, or to the point where you're losing every week. There's something else happening every week where players are coming onto the pitch not feeling, got, you know, the same kind of mentality to want to win.
Do you know what it is? When United was mega successful, yeah, and we spoke about this on Five on Monday, yeah, and you had the likes of Darren Fletcher, Phil Neville,
yeah,
Luis Saha. These were your backups to your first choice players.
Yeah.
But Arsenal's team is full of your Luis Sahas. Like a Lacazette, okay, is probably a similar level. And people won't like this.
Yeah, that's true. It's true.
But that's probably who Lacazette is.
There's a reason why he never ever gets the slightest looking or sniff in the French team. I know, I've been wondering.
And yeah,
why.
He's had some good seasons. And yes, the guy's talented. No, but trust me, Louis, if you don't think I'm being respectful here to Lacazette, then you don't understand how good I think Luis Saha
that
was.
Is. That's not even a big statement. I would say Luis Saha is better than Lacazette.
But this is it. These guys were backups at United when we were dominating everything. Arsenal are thinking that these players are Terry Henry level. And they're not even Luis Saha level.
It's true. I think you're right, you know. I think it's one. Are these. It's just a bunch of bang average players, isn't it? Like,
yeah.
Xhaka's probably what? He's probably Everton, starting Everton standard.
Who's he getting over at Everton? There's a reason they finished behind him. They didn't finish behind him this year.
But you are talking about the skipper of Switzerland, isn't it? But
there's more people in this room than there is in Switzerland.
Nah, I think I'm riding the coattails of kind of looking at Xhaka play for Switzerland in the Euros and thinking he actually looked like a bit of a serious player there, and then he plays for Arsenal, he's calamitous at best.
Again, but then though, yeah, in that Switzerland team, there's more good players around him.
But that's what I mean, is it because he's playing next to Elneny?
And this is why it's really difficult to sort of identify who's pulling who up and who's pulling who down.
Because Aubameyang was flying at one point, what happened to him?
And I also think Dortmund is such a well-run club.
Yeah.
And they identify their targets with absolute laser-guided precision.
Yeah.
That when they bring people into the team, like Bellingham, the way he's walked into there and looked really good. Like, yeah. I didn't expect that. And he wouldn't have done that at United. No. He wouldn't have played anywhere near as much and he wouldn't have looked as good. Same with Sancho. If we'd have bought Sancho straight from City for $7 million, he'd probably be at Leeds now, right?
Nope.
Like, there's something that Dortmund do where, you know, whether it was Mkhitaryan, Kagawa, Aubameyang, it couldn't be something to do with the league, I think. Mm. I'm sure it is. But also, players thrive at Dortmund. Like, they get the right player with the right temperament and they put the right club around him and the right position in and they give him the opportunity to thrive. Dortmund might be as good as anyone in the world's ever been at that. Players thrive at Dortmund. Who's flopped at Dortmund?
No one. Is it their play style? Is it just
because they've spent money?
Is it their place? I think they flip it rather well, though.
Yeah, they do.
I think.
But the thing is, they don't look at it like maybe Arsenal look at it and go, oh, we've got to spend this much on someone. Dortmund go, got to spend this much on him. We'll flip him. Because people know that's a good place to go shopping.
But and how are you consistently doing this? Because it's like a carousel. Because now. You look
it's a business model.
It's a business model, but now Sancho's left and you've got...
They made 10x on Sancho, by the
10x.
Way.
How much are they going to make? How much are they going to make on Bellingham?
What did it cost them? Was it like 16?
16, I think probably even less.
Around 6 or 7x at least.
7x. How much did they make on Pulisic?
Oh, that I don't even know if they paid for him.
How much are they going to make on...
What did they get Haaland for? Do we know? I can't remember how much Haaland was.
How much are they going to make on Haaland? How much are they going to make on Reina?
Yeah.
The 18-year-old star that they've got.
I mean, I know they didn't make anything on Hakimi because he was there on loan.
I was going to say, in my head, I was thinking Hakimi thought, he was only there on loan, but they were part of projecting him in
the world. This is Real Madrid?
Yeah.
Shit. Because that's your guy.
But
18 mil.
Yeah, 18
oh
mil.
My God. Put 100 on that. He's going for that plus 100.
I think you've done the favour for, done basically. How Dortmund's got Bellingham for 18 million.
Do you think that was Haaland won at 18 million?
Do you think any Premier League team gets Bellingham for 18 million the way he was playing for Bellingham?
So, no. What the hell are Dortmund doing with their recruitment? It's fucking impressive.
And it's like they had thingy as well. Isaac.
Yeah.
Alexander Isaac.
Their recruitment, Leipzig's recruitment as a whole system from whichever clubs they're doing, there's some utterly ridiculous recruitment going on. And even, you know, closer to home, Leicester's. Leicester's is probably their standout one in the Premier League.
Leicester's a standout one in the league.
You know, and then you've got some clubs like Arsenal just absolutely tossing it off. How can you be so bad?
I don't know. Leicester are spending money now, by the way, though. They've gone. I feel like they're trying to, which is clever. I think they've reached a time where they thought, we've managed to kind of sell our best players,
exist and get
almost regens in and stay at the same level or still compete in around top four.
What did they sell Kante for?
I'm not too sure.
Wasn't it mad though that they moved Kante on for?
Yeah, they have. But do you not think Leicester are kind of thinking maybe their luck might eventually run out? So now they're thinking, let's capitalize on where we are, what we've done. And instead of always going for bargains all the time, we can do one or two players.
Instead
of
doing the bargain bin, looking for someone with loads of value to flip, let's go back and find the next Kante and Mahrez and keep them.
And
try and... Because obviously, they won the league on a fluke. Yeah. And I say no one wins the league on a fluke, but that was a fluke.
A fluke. 38 games, man.
They earned it, but it was just a weird set of circumstances that all worked, and it's probably unrepeatable in that way for them. But they still have quality players. Ndidi, Maddison, Tielemans, Jamie Vardy. Jamie Vardy's a Premier League legend.
Yeah, he is.
Certified.
Yeah.
Finding though the value in those players. That's the other thing. From the Moneyball model, a lot of it is... When it started in baseball, it was who can get on base. So who's picking up the unfavourable picking up bases, I guess. Whereas it's runs, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't really know baseball. I only watch the film. You're picking up runs, right? But you still get runs if your lad goes from 1 to 2, then waits, then 2 to 3, then waits, then 3 to 4, and home and waits. You still get runs, don't you? Or is it a half a run or something like that? Or is it still just a run?
I think it's the first base, second base, third base, fourth
base. But I think once you get all the way around.
All around's home run, but I think if you go there one at a time, it still
counts as a run.
Still counts, but it's not a home run, but...
But either way, you're scoring, aren't you?
Let us know in the comments.
Yeah, I mean, just correct our utter fucking wibble where we're just wrong.
But I think I've ever watched a baseball game in my life.
I've watched it, and I knew when he was fucking levering it, that's good. And when he was catching it, that's good for the other guys.
I feel like the only thing I know about baseball is that they earn ridiculous money, their best players.
100 plus million.
Yeah.
So what people was looking at is... Your big money teams, your Boston, your Yankees, they was going for who can fucking slug it out of the park, spectacular fucking gadushas, low XG goals, but they're in your head, aren't they, because they're fucking smashing them. Whereas actually there's value to be had in these guys that just hit the ball but get on base and then they progress, and it's not as fancy but they get on. Like statistically they're pulling in madness, and you don't have to pay them 100 million.
Okay, so you're talking about players. I can't remember if I'm wrong with the terminology. Basically, you've got players that have got more like home run potential, like the more mostly the power to go and do the distance, and then but they might strike out more than a player that's less able to do a home run, but they're more consistent.
Yeah, so their average ends up being like their run average ends up being similar or better. But if it's similar to a guy that you're spending 100 mil on and you can't afford the 100 mil, well, this is amazing. Let's say it only costs you 2 mil a year. That's how they was looking at it. Yeah. Now, they tried to convert that over to football. Brentford and Midtjylland and the guy at Liverpool tried to do that a little bit as well. And they was using expected assists and expected goals to do that. Not necessarily something you can do with your defence, because there's not really defensive pressure sort of stats, to mark space at least. Because a lot of defending is not what you actually do, it's what you prevent from happening. Yeah. So, like, that's difficult to sort of... It's hard to prove a negative, isn't it? Yeah. So it's like you can't necessarily prove a lot of defending. You can't prove that you was in the right position, so the pass never happened. Like, you can't prove those things. You can only prove what actually happened. So it's a flawed... model of recruiting an entire squad, but you can certainly look at players maybe in your wide areas and your number nine areas and to a certain extent your goalkeeper. Ronaldo's parking's running out. Would you like to renew your parking?
I think this is the second time, because quite often what would happen is I'll get a fine, and that's what I'll get for XG files, commitments. But it's funny that I say that I'm American sport fanatic, but I know nothing about baseball like that. Just know
you like basketball and football.
Basketball, but as my coach used to say, Tony Filiskirk at Oldham, he used to try and incorporate a lot of the basketball strategies in football. A lot of sports interlink like that anyway. Kind of methods.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of rugby league stuff that can be brought into football. Rugby league was way ahead of the curve in terms of analysis and stuff like that. And that's a lot because of Australia. Australia being the leaders in the game. The Australian Institute of Sport was somewhere that was like market leading and had a lot of innovation about it. Anyway, before we get bogged down in XG talk on the XG files, even though it's potentially a useful little yarn to have, has signing Ronaldo put United in a position to win the league? I wouldn't say we're favourites because I think Chelsea's team is very complete, and I think that's the one thing that we all know United need a six, right? I think, can we just put that out there?
Need a six.
If we'd have said at the start of the window, United are going to sign three world-class players that are first choice, we'd have all have took that, right?
Yeah, we would have, with both hands.
Yeah. The fact that you've ended up sort of, there's an issue at United now. You've got Mason Greenwood, who's potentially on path to being a legitimate, genuine world-class talent.
Yes.
You've signed a potential world-class talent in Jadon Sancho. You've got a world-class number nine in Cavani. And you've added a category of his own in Ronaldo. Greatest of all time.
Yep.
Still putting up legitimate world-class numbers, though. As we said before, probably still top 10 in the world as a player. I can't believe some of the shit that I've been seeing from Paul Merson, from Trevor Sinclair,
I'd
for
say
starters.
Top five. Oh,
yeah, maybe even top five.
Yeah.
Trevor Sinclair, 4 days ago, when he was going to City, this is a great move. He's got what City need. You know, he's good, used to the tempo. He knows the Premier League. Today has just come out and said, well, he's not going to be fit enough to play every game.
No, but I've said, bro. I said this on Paddock when I was on the video when we signed Ronaldo. I did mention Trevor Sinclair, actually, because I think he's a very peculiar man. come on, very strange. Now, but I mean that in a kind of a concerned way, though.
Fine.
Like, because when I'm watching him speak and say things, like, not like he looks like there's absolutely nothing in between the ears when he does speak, but it doesn't look like he genuinely believes what he's saying, which is my problem.
Like, I think he's one of those people that's played for City and decided that that's the only fan base that's going to like him.
Yeah, he's running with it, like he's forcing some sort of like narrative, agenda, like trying to be
Manchester City.
Yeah, he's trying to force this kind of antagonist.
So what's weird is there's no one that fights United's corner like that. Didn't any ex-United player? I think it's because everyone hates United.
Yeah.
That every pundit that's played for United has to be critical of United to get work.
Yeah,
because I don't think anyone wants a braggy United player.
Nah, it's true. It's almost like because you've got the target on your back of being a United player, ex-United are up there and but always up there anyway.
Rio's probably the closest one to like a positive United pundit.
Yeah.
Scholes is miserable. Roy Keane acts like he hates us. Now, Gary Neville's all about the fucking Scousers for some reason.
No. Roy Keane acts like he tries to push the narrative of him playing for United and whatever is just football career business. Like, it's not like he's got some sort of affinity to the club. Mm. When deep down, you can still tell that.
He comes across almost bitter because of how it ended, I think.
Yeah,
I think he's all about United. But the way he talks, he's very
I don't think he enjoys seeing United not doing well, like when I've seen it. But
I think that's all of them.
I think that's all of them. Gary Scholes is the same. I think Scholes is miserable in terms of he compares United to the United he knew. And then he's kind of thinking,
That's not good enough. And it comes across as being, because he's super fucking Oldham in the way he acts.
Exactly.
It comes across as quite pissed off with.
Yes. And because Gary Neville's such a, he's a United super fan, really.
Yeah.
He forces the
neutrality.
The neutrality thing, innit? Like, he tries his best.
Too far to not be biased. Yeah. Jamie Carragher's unapologetically Scouse, and when Liverpool score, he celebrates.
Yeah.
Neville seems to almost contain himself, and maybe we'll go, let's say United just scored a fucking worldie, he'll be like, oh, the Southampton defence was at odds there. Like, he won't be like, fucking get it! Like, he's gone too far
he's never super complimentary of United when he's doing punditry or he's commentating. But any of the other big teams, whether it be Chelsea, whether it be City or Liverpool, if they're playing and they're playing brilliant football, he's praising them like
he's dicks no out, other. Dicks out.
But I think he's thinking in the back of his head when it's United, it's like, oh, I can't say too much. People are going to say I'm biased. I'm like, bro, everyone knows you're United.
Yeah. There was something Rio said as well a couple of weeks ago, which was so fucking honest. And there's a couple of people tried to have a dig for him. But I just think he was being honest because I suspected this was the case with a lot of players. Yeah. So it took a lot of bollocks for him to come out and admit this. And he said, I want United to be successful, but not to surpass what I did there. He said, or he didn't.
Yeah.
He goes, now, just wants to see them win. He goes, but as my career finished, he goes, there's obviously a little bit of like, I wish I was still playing, all of that, them sort of emotions. He goes, and obviously he dealt with the bereavement of his wife at the same time.
I think it's especially when he was on the downward trend and he went to QPR and
he looked
a shell of himself. And it's like,
I think he had obviously a serious personal rude awakening with his wife passing away. And I think he went through probably some counselling as well at the time.
Mm.
And I think he has just come out of that where he's seen everything for what it is and gone, oh no, fuck it. And I think he looks like he's fucking loving life at the moment. So I think he's no longer got the insecurity.
Looks like a decent life for him though, isn't it?
But he's no longer got the insecurity of, oh, my career meant this. He's like, yeah, I had a fucking great career. Go and have a great career. And I think he's just in such a fucking good spot that he can be secure enough to say, nah, go fucking, yes, Varane, here's what you need to fucking do. Come and be a fucking thing. Yeah. So I think he celebrates United a bit now.
That's crazy.
Right, before we started, and you lads, I want to get involved in this. I'll put this on my Instagram as well, so come check it out, Mr. Stephen House on Instagram. I give Ronaldo a task before we started, which he fucked up.
No, I actually didn't fuck it up. Not even going to lie to you.
So I said, ignore the top four.
I fixed it.
Ignore the top four, and I fucked up though because I didn't put a keeper in. I'm going to have to put a keeper in once we finish. Ignore the top four, so no Liverpool, Chelsea, United or City.
Yes.
You can pick one player from each team who can make the best team. And you lot will decide. Go and tell me on my Instagram which one is the best team. Right, give
Instagram
us your team.
Instagram or Twitter?
Do it on, I'll do it on both.
Do it on both, of course.
Do it on both. Go on then, so give us your team.
My team is... Are we starting usual in goal? In goal?
Well, yeah, I've not got a keeper, so...
In goal, I've got Martinez.
Okay.
From Aston Villa. Right back, I've gone for Max Ahrens.
Ditto, I've gone for Max Ahrens.
Centre-halves, I've gone for Tarkowski and Johnny Evans.
Oh, yeah, Evans is a good shout.
And left back, I've gone Lucas Digne.
Okay.
In midfield, my two midfield pivot, I've gone for Bissouma and Calvin Phillips. On the left wing, I've gone for Saint-Maximin. On the right wing, I've gone for Sarr.
Okay.
And in the number 10, I've gone for Benrahma. And then up front, I've gone for Heung-min Son.
Very interesting.
So,
I went for a 4-3-3.
Okay.
My keeper, you'll have to come and check out on Instagram and Twitter because I forgot. I've gone with Max Ahrens. I think he's one of only two players that we've got the same, which is very interesting.
Well, I'm very glad it's very different.
My centre-half partnership. You said you struggled at centre-half. I didn't. Mings and Godfrey I'm going for.
I was saying to Alex out there, I was considering Godfrey, but I already had I wanted Digne in as my one Everton player.
See, this is the other thing. Yeah. So I took Calvert-Lewin out, thinking... Because actually, there's a few options as your nine, quite a few, and there's a few options as your six. Six is probably the most stacked Premier League sort of position where you've got Ndidi, you've got people like this that you can play there. I've gone with Creswell at left-back.
Yes, Creswell was my second choice. I think Creswell's one of the most underrated left-backs in the league.
And again, could have had Rice there, but decided I was going with Creswell from West Ham. Thomas Partey, I've gone with him as six.
Oh, shit. Forgot he exists.
Probably the only Arsenal player worth having.
There's no way I'm putting an Arsenal player in my team. No way.
My other midfielder, Ward-Prowse and Tielemans.
Ward-Prowse and Tielemans.
With Partey. That's a midfielder. That's a good midfielder.
Tielemans. Everyone's going to be like, how have you both not got Ndidi in? But anyway, go.
Saint-Maxim.
Saint-Maxim. So you that's the one that we've got the same. I think he's a baller.
He is.
Like, fact. He's a serious player when you watch
absolute
him.
Absolute fact. Adama on the right.
Yeah.
We know our feelings on Adama. Serious. Absolute. these two running at you, you're going to be in trouble. Like, who are you going to contain? And then I went with Tony up front.
I know you love Tony. He was a beast. He scored as well, scored on the weekend. Yeah. He's got a beast. He was a beast against Arsenal. And he had a little bit more quality than I thought.
My other option, I was going to go with, I didn't have some Max.
There's no
like
bench.
If we did,
there's no bench.
No. Was Heung-min Son. So the ones that I had at the side, Rice, Heung-min Son, Calvert-Lewin, they were the ones that I was trying to get in my 50-50. Team somehow, yeah. And also, Neves was one that I was thinking of putting in my team. And I was like, do you know what?
You're either Adama.
I'm going for Adama out of that, yeah.
So you didn't struggle with centre-half?
No, I think Mings and Godfrey had worked. Obviously, Mings is
more...
What's
interesting about him putting Mings in there is that his centre-half partner is better than him. Konsa. I'm not a fan.
I like what Mings brings, though. I want an intimidating centre-half. We're playing Coyote at centre-half as well.
Decent. He's made a career off being left-footed, Tyrone Mings.
Yeah, well, there you go.
Oh, yeah. He's playing on Sunday.
Who are we playing?
Yeah.
We played North Waterloo at weekend.
I thought you had a game on Sunday.
About that. I'll tell you off camera what's going on with that.
Okay. Because I was considering.
Oh, was you?
Yeah.
If selected. I don't think we can play it. So we've got four teams.
Yeah. Apparently a couple of Rams players play for
them. Yes,
yeah.
They do.
Yeah.
We've got four teams and five matches. The problem with this is we only have four kits. So, and actually, we only have two goalkeepers.
Yes, okay.
So how do you have five matches with two goalkeepers?
That's true. What time's the North Waterloo game?
Two.
I'm trying to see if we can watch. Because I think we're training that day. In the morning.
Yeah, we can get down and come and watch. Because I actually think...
Yeah.
We've just moved as well. So actually, we are taking on new players.
I wonder if it's the same teams. Because that was a good match. Even though we lost 3-0, it was a good match.
Yeah, one of the most not 3-0 games I've seen.
It was a
3-0
game.
Do you know how many shots we had in that game?
Loads. But you know what I remember about that game? Because I remember on the second half,
I'll just say this, right? At our level, in the Premier League, right, it takes about 4-ish shots for a goal, right? At our level, it's about 5-ish shots because the shots are a little bit more wayward, right?
And but the keepers are a little bit worse, so I don't know if it balances out.
Yeah, it does. It's 5. Okay. That's why it's 5, right? Do you know how many shots we had?
20-something, at least.
It was 20.
Yeah.
20 fucking shots!
Do you know what they said to us? Said after the guys on the sideline saying that our team was top-heavy as shit in that game. As in, like, we were mad going forward, but we just gave away three bad goals.
It was a very interesting game, right? Because we just played Moston Brook last weekend, and Moston Brook, you play it into the middle, it's like a vice, they just fucking... They press the middle. It's
just
bananas.
Good, as you remembered it, I told you, it's
really well
team.
Drilled.
It's
really
team.
Well drilled. Yeah. North Warden. It's funny because when we played them last time, we'd been working on playing through the middle as a team, like up, back, and through, and little systems of play. So when we played that match, we were like, "Oh, we're fucking sick," because what we've just worked on in training is working. However, when you watch the analysis, you realise that. They are a front-to-back team. They was almost allowing us to walk through the middle. So we thought, because we worked on that in training this week, because we'd never seen them, we didn't know what they were about.
Yeah.
We thought we were just fucking sick. We did play some very, very good football, putting it into the channels, balls from Nosa into you. They were some of the best football I've seen us play. Isaac, and congrats to Isaac for making his full debut this week, actually, at Southport in the conference. Fuck me, couldn't have hit a barn door. He must have had five shots where you go, you have to score this.
And that's very unlike him finishing.
He's dead eye, isn't he?
Yeah, he's normally very dead eye.
And he's gone round the keeper like several times and just not put it away. Honestly, it's a fun watch. They had 30 shots as well, to be fair to him. But a lot of theirs was like cross the halfway line and shoot.
Yeah, it was very, very back and forth. It's a good game anyway. But
I'm looking forward to this week because I've got a couple of ideas for how to play against them. And KO'd at centre-half is one of them.
It should be. I'm going to be down on watch anyway, but obviously want to hop back to the teams because you've not put your keeper in. You've got to put a keeper in.
I know, I have to put a keeper in, yeah.
We're not finished speaking about this.
So who's got the best team out of those two anyway?
Check
them out on Instagram.
Choose your keeper.
I'll do them when we're finished.
We're on the video, so just do a keeper. Like, it's not that hard.
Is that it, I think? I didn't see who was available.
You're not
going
to get a better one than mine anyway.
The other thing is, I might chin off. I like Schmeichel out of what's available here. I might put another 8 in.
You've got Tielemans.
Exactly. I just said I might put another 8 in so I could put Schmeichel in. Get rid of Tielemans and put in.
So basically what you're saying is you're on video saying, who's got the best team, blah, 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 to go in and change the team completely.
I'm just putting a keeper in.
Anyway.
Because I can't even think off the top of my head who's even available here.
Mine's obviously better. Martinez, yeah.
Anyway, cheers for tuning in, as usual.
Yeah, get this.
If you would like to come and play for Paddock, by the way, we are every Tuesday. We are accepting walk-ons. Come and make yourself known to one of the coaches. 6 o'clock on Tuesdays at Nichols. Go to StratfordPaddockFC.com and just click play for us. All the information's on there. Cheers for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe.
When's this going out, by the way?
Now.
I'm talking about this poll.
Oh, when Adam's made it.
All right, then. Later.
Hey, thank you for watching the video. If you are new around these parts, then don't forget to subscribe. My channel is proudly supported by my community on Patreon. If you'd like to get a little bit of extra content, a Discord group, meetups, five-a-side games, weekly podcasts, behind the scenes, and even an occasional bit of transfer news, as and when I get it, then for the price of a pint, you can show your appreciation for the content that we make and get some goodies for doing so as well. Check the link in the description or click the button right here. You'll also find all of my socials here too if you want to follow me on any of those platforms. Nice one.